you know what today is?
Today is the third day of our 3-day road trip across the country.
Or our 5-year anniversary. What a cool little town. I actually like this so much better than a motel. I bet the people who live here are really happy.
Tough crowd, right?
Hi.
Hi.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
The silence. It's nice. Is Tamara here?
No.
I think you have the wrong home. That was weird. You're one of the messiest eater on the planet.
Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Fresh Cuts. It's Mike. Joining me as always, it's Mr. Venom. What's up, Venom?
Greetings and salutations, hack directors. I doubt any of those are listening to us right now, but if you are, welcome aboard. How the hell are you doing, Mike?
Doing well. Trying to figure out why the movie we're going to be talking about was even made in the first place, but...
Hey, it's the first time we're doing a 14-year-old movie on this show. Interesting.
Yeah. All right, also with us, it's Don and Ellie. What's up, Don?
Yeah, what's going on? Always happy to be here, although circumstances are really starting to feel counterintuitive to that.
All right. So we are talking, what the hell is it called? Strangers Chapter 1. I just forgot the subtitle. Yeah, Chapter 1, because it's the latest theatrical release, that's why. And I think it's supposed to be a prequel, or I don't know if it's a prequel or like it's a remake
I thought that was
starting
a,
over. Or
I thought this was a remake with the new cast.
I read that this serves as a prequel. They are making a new trilogy, which is why this is called Chapter 1.
But, I was just taking it in as a remake with the new cast.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no, that's the truth, sadly.
Yeah, I know. I was making
I'm
a joke. I think
about
it just
what we were told.
Yeah, I know the thing. I was just making a joke, and apparently, just like the movie, it fell flat on its face.
All right. So I will get the synopsis. Let's see. After the car breaks down in an eerie small town, a young couple is forced to spend the night in a remote cabin. Panic ensues as they are terrorized by three masked strangers who strike with no mercy and seemingly no motive. All right, general thoughts time. The Strangers, Chapter 1, Venom, take it away.
I saw this movie 14 years ago when it was called The Strangers, and I have no idea why the fuck this movie was made. Now, I understand that this is meant to be a first chapter in a new trilogy of The Strangers, but my friends, this is a fucking carbon copy of the original, and I mean a shot-for-shot, set-piece-for-set-piece remake of the original. They just, like Don mentioned earlier, they just changed the actors, but I walked out of this theater so fucking pissed off that I literally paid, well, I mean, I didn't pay directly, but I mean, with movie prices being upwards of $25 right now, why the fuck would Renny Harlin and Brian Bertino decide to just remake their original movie shot for shot is beyond me. I will never understand the mentality of this decision. Now, I understand that there's more to come, that this isn't going to be a standalone movie like the original Strangers was, or, you know, was meant to be. And I'm sure we'll get more answers, but this movie, my friends, this is a 90-minute waste of time. This is literally a waste of time in every sense of the word. I can't think of a better way to put it. If you've seen The Strangers 2007, then you've seen The Strangers Chapter 1. It's that fucking simple. And the only difference is that they took the mid-credit scene from Pray at Night and stuck it in here. So literally, this movie is 99% shot-for-shot remake, and then they throw a mid-credit sequence in there that rips off the sequel to the original Strangers. So, yeah, I just don't know what the fuck these guys were thinking about. Now, Renny Harlin isn't necessarily a favorite director of mine, but he did direct a movie that I absolutely adore, and that's The Devil's Pass. I will vouch for that movie. I absolutely adore that movie. It talks about different things that, you know, happened in real life, that things that I was actually studying before the movie was ever released. So when the movie came out and I saw what a great job they did with it, it blew me away. Nothing else that Renny Harlin has done since then has really impressed me in any way, shape, or form. And now this movie just, for my money, this puts Renny Harlin in the shithole. I don't know what the fuck these guys were thinking about. I'm sorry, but Renny and Brian Bertino, you guys fucked up making this movie. And it just, and the funny thing is that some of the set pieces are still better in the original. Like, some of the set pieces that they redid are still better in the original. How are you going to learn 14 years worth of filmmaking and then make a movie that's somehow worse? And I, like I said, I understand Bertino didn't direct this one the way he, you know, wrote and directed the original. But he's still a producer on this one. He still knew what he was allowing to be done to his property. And, you know, he knows that fans are going to walk out of this theater pissed off. Maybe not everybody. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't familiar with The Strangers coming to see this movie for the first time. They may enjoy it the way that I enjoyed the original Strangers in 2007. But let me tell you, this is the first time that I and this is legitimately the very first time in my life that I can ever think of that a sequel actually brought down the original. I did something a little bit different this time. Usually when a new movie comes out, a sequel, you know, to a past horror movie, I'll watch that movie first in preparation for going to see the sequel. Unfortunately, Mrs. Venom had to go to the hospital this weekend, so I didn't really have the time to watch the original Strangers. So what I did was I went to see Chapter 1 today, this morning, which was the first opportunity I had all weekend to go see it. And then I came home and watched the original Strangers at home. And my friends, yeah, this new movie makes me dislike the original. I adored the original. It was like a 9 out of 10 for me when it first came out. It was a top 3 movie for that year. I loved every second of the original. But after watching the carbon copy that was just released and then coming home and rewatching the original, it's like I watched the same movie twice today. And I mean, literally every single set piece that's in the original is in this one. They may have changed minor things here and there, You know, like in the original, it was the guy's brother who gets shot with the shotgun. It's a different person in this one, but still, the scene is still there. Someone mistakenly gets shot with a shotgun. I can't put into words how much of a carbon copy this is of the original. I hate, the whole time I was in the theater, I was just hating it. And then for the first act of the movie, they actually kind of imply that the town might be in on this, that the town where this event took place might actually be, like, aware of the strangers and may actually be, like, turning a blind eye and allowing it to happen. Now, we never get any confirmation like that in the movie whatsoever. But the fact that the town itself is a little bit of a red herring, and then you just leave that dangling, again, I'm sure we're going to get more information in the subsequent next two movies. I mean, hell, hopefully they get canceled outright, like the Exorcist sequels got canceled. But I don't know. I have no hope for this trilogy after watching this first chapter. It is the same fucking movie that I watched in 2007 with worse actors, because Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler did a way better job in the original. I will say that the couple in this movie is a little bit more likable because they're not at odds. You know, they're very much in love, whereas the couple in the original, the movie opens and they're already, like, not talking to each other and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the couple is a lot more likable in this one. But, and there's a lot less of the skeptical partner, the skeptical spouse, as I call it, in this movie as there was in the original. Scott Speedman's character was way more of a skeptical douchebag in that one than the guy in this one is. So there are very minor things, and I mean very minor things, that they kind of improved on. But for the most part, this is a major step down from the original. To see the same movie again is so disheartening, so disappointing. I literally don't want to watch the next two movies. If they actually make the next two movies, I know I'll have to for the podcast, but I have no desire to watch them. And this movie, Strangers Chapter 1, was a movie that I was looking forward to this year. For those who don't know, I already said, I love the original and I hated Pray at Night. I didn't like Pray at Night because of that family. I fucking hated that family. I wanted them to die as quickly as possible. And they don't even all die by the damn time the movie's over. So this one is, like I said, it's just a rehash of the original. And I will never understand why he did this. Why he did this to his fans. Why he did this to, you know, paying horror fans who are going to the theater in anticipation of seeing, you know, an early summer horror release, and then you just give us that? The same fucking movie? No. That's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I'm going to say that this was the most disappointing experience I've had in the theater in 2024, and that's saying a lot because we've seen stuff like Night Swim and Imaginary in the theater, but this movie, way, way more disappointing because I expected so much more. So I'm just going to leave it at that and say I hate just about everything about The Strangers Chapter 1. It's an unnecessary movie that didn't need to be made. I mean, why even remake it? Why not just continue the story? If you want to make a new trilogy, just continue the story that you've already set up. There's no need to remake the fucking original movie beat for beat. It's lazy, it's disheartening, it's disappointing, and it's infuriating. And I cannot recommend this movie to anyone. The only people I would recommend this to is to someone who's never seen a Strangers movie before. And even then, I would rather they go back and watch the original. There's no need to watch this one. So, yeah, my friends, I'm going to leave my general thoughts at I hated this movie. I hated the experience of watching it in the theater. I hated that I even had to take a shower and leave my house to fucking watch a movie I already watched 17 years ago. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that and say fuck this movie. Back to you, Mike.
All right. Well, let's throw it on over to Don. What did you think of The Strangers Chapter 1?
2024, what the fuck happens here? We were going along nicely. We had a nice run of, I think about a month's worth of films that were, good. I'm not going to say they were great, but, we had Late Night with the Devil, and we had, now I'm blanking on this. Stop Motion, Sting, Abigail Infested, Immaculate. I mean, you know, like, I really thought we were turning a corner here. I mean, it took us so long to get there that, I kind of thought we were, you know, going to turn things around and, you know, finally start getting cozy with each other. But, yeah, I really thought that we really should have learned the lesson from the first Omen when we realized that one was really kind of starting to – that was kind of like the first sign that things were kind of going to start turning to crap and – you know, then we had Tarot and the film we had last week, Arcadian, you know, that non-horror piece of shit. And then we come to this, and man, I totally feel the sense of deja vu you did, Venom, because just like you, I was prepared to do a franchise retrospective just to see where we were, because I, again, incorrectly didn't realize until too late that it was a prequel. I thought we were getting a brand new sequel, like, you know, chapter one, like we were starting a new trilogy, like this was going to be a refresher course on the franchise, because I didn't really like part one when I first saw it. I thought it was kind of dull. I thought it was boring. A lot of the situations were contrived, and it really didn't hit me that well the first time I watched it. But then again, I'm also not a home invasion fan, so that was kind of, you know, expected. Whereas I never saw part two because I didn't think that much of part one, so I didn't really care to check it out. And I ended up and I did do a, you know, I will admit I did kind of refrain from something that I wanted to do just to prepare myself for this. And I really wish I didn't because, you know, this is just awful. I admit that I thought that this was kind of going to be a little bit different. The setup with the town, which is, you know, different from the original. I thought the idea that the town is kind of aware of what's going on here and they allow these guys to knock off unwanted intruders. That's good. A decent idea. You can work with that. You know, the idea of this, town that turns a blind eye to everything and just lets them do what they want for the sake of keeping everything, you know, way they want it and, you know, like whatever, like something that was kind of like what Venom was saying, you know, is going to be built upon and alluded in, you know, other films. Cause I knew that it was called Chapter One. Whereas like, I remember, when that one first came out, they just called it It. And then they sort of retconned it and they called it Chapter One when the sequel came out and they called it It Chapter Two. But, you know, calling it Chapter One from the beginning, it kind of gave me the impression that they were going to, you know, start a new franchise with it. But yeah, then they arrive at the cabin and everything just starts becoming overly familiar again. The arguments change, but the mentality stays the same. The intruding doesn't really stand out. And then you start realizing, oh crap, it's beat for beat, and then you start calling what's going on, and it kind of takes away from the intention behind it, because again, you're calling things beat for beat, and then that just, whatever attempts at suspense is going on is just completely thrown out the window. The violence is not that impressive. I can watch this kind of stuff happen in better movies, so I mean, the gore isn't that great. The characters are still stupid idiots, you know, that just get themselves stuck in a situation so that they could just ride themselves out and, you know, get out of the situation unharmed. And I don't give a rat's ass. The "because you were home" tagline is not a motivation for anything. That is absolutely pathetic, stupid, lazy, boring, and I have no use for it. Give me a damn reason and I will be fine with it. "Because you were home" is lazy and stupid, and I have no interest in it. Maybe realistic, but I want my reasoning. So, yeah, I don't have much use for this. It's just a complete waste, you know. I mean, you could CGI over the, you know, I always get the guy's name, Speedman, right?
The original, Scott Speedman.
Yeah, Speedman. I always get his name mixed up, yeah. Just CGI over Speedman and Tyler with the characters from this movie, and you've got it. You've got it beat for beat. So, yeah, there's no need for this one. There's no use for it. Again, I can't really recommend it for anything because there's nothing here to really recommend. Just watch the original again. Again, the setup is going to be the only real difference, and I don't think that's good enough to really warrant whether or not you're going to do this. I mean, if you're whatever motivation gets you there, you know, fine. But again, if you're going to redo this kind of a sequel, at least change things up a bit. You know, give us different set pieces. You know, give us different, you know, encounters with the strangers or, you know, something. But to do it beat for beat just kind of takes all the fun out of everything. So, yeah, again, like I said, I can't recommend this. Just stick with the original. So back to you, Mike.
All right. Yeah, so I'm kind of right there with you guys. I haven't seen the original Strangers, I think, since I originally saw it in the theater. That's how long it's been. It's a movie I never really visited or revisited. Not because I didn't like it necessarily, but I didn't think it was like great. I thought it was like a decent horror movie. Pray at Night, I liked it a little bit less, maybe a lot less. And so when they announced this, I didn't know, kind of like you, maybe like you guys, I was a little caught up in the confusion of like, is this like a prequel to the actual original, or are they rebooting it with this being the first one? It kind of makes even less sense, because if they were gonna, I think like Venom was alluding to, if they wanted to make more Strangers films or make like direct sequels, just do it. Like, you could still use the actual original Strangers as the launching point. Because I think most of the horror community is still pretty familiar with it. It didn't seem like it needed a retcon to start a new trilogy. But the thing is, if you're going to do that, why did you basically just make a beat for beat less good version of the original? Like, you really didn't try to do much new at all. I think like the only thing they really emphasized in this one over the original, which is something that's already been mentioned, was just kind of giving us our stereotypical, like, backwoods townie folks. Like, they maybe emphasize that a little more. And I guess maybe alluded to, like, possibly they could be indifferent to, like, what's going on. But otherwise, it's just the Strangers again. Like, and they, like Venom said, they actually lifted actual situations, actual death out of the original. So I don't get it. I almost feel like you could just watch. I'll take that back. There might be a couple things in this that will specifically be filmed or written for this trilogy. Because I was about to say, you could just watch the original and then still watch the next two, because you're probably not going to miss anything. But there might be like one or two things that they throw into this one that would be required for like this specific trilogy. But otherwise, it's like you could probably get away with watching the original and then moving right into like whatever they have planned for the second and third one, if you're even interested. After watching this, I don't know like what their plans are. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it, because it's almost like we're just talking about it being less good than the original, but it's so similar, and there's not much else to it. If you've seen The Strangers before, you pretty much know the setup, you know what's going to be happening, and just they hit a lot of the same beats, just in a less good way. Then again, like at the same time, I don't even want to say it's terrible, it's just unnecessary. Like, I guess I would say for, like, the people who haven't seen the original Strangers, or maybe not even seen Prey at Night, if you're going into this movie as, like, your first representation of, like, the Strangers, then maybe you'll be like, oh, it was okay, like, it was, like, decent. Because maybe with no experience, you would watch this and say, hey, it's serviceable, it's not great, but if you have seen the original, then I think you're pretty much going to come away with the way we thought, which is, why does this even exist?
It's especially true once you start realizing that it is beat for beat, because the opening is a little bit different, but then once you start realizing it, then yeah, that just takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, just feels like not much effort to do anything new or different with it. I guess, I mean, that's putting a lot of pressure on the next one to, like, I guess, expand it out or do something, because I don't... You would think someone going through this experience, like, we'll see, because I'm like, you can't just do the same stalking of her again, can you? Like, it's got to be something more to it, I would hope. Unless, well, I was going to suggest something, but that would spoil something that happens, so I won't even say that for now. But
I have a suggestion, too, where I'd like to see it go, but it's a little out of left field, so they may not do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, but those are, like, my general thoughts are probably the most general ever, because I would just be repeating everything that's already been said, and that's because this movie repeated everything that's already been filmed, so it's hard to even say anything new. I would say if you are listening to this right now and you haven't seen any Strangers movie, go watch the original, and you would not even need to bother with it. And I would say you still might want to check this out, but you can definitely wait for it to be streaming. There's no priority or pressure to run out to the theater to see this. So I'll leave it at that. Back to you, Venom.
In fact, I will go the complete opposite, and I will actively say, please don't go see this movie. Do not give these people money for making the same fucking movie they made 14 years ago. It's an insult. It's offensive. Fuck them. Like, I'm actually upset that I went to see this in a theater. Granted, you know, I'm in one of those movie programs where I don't pay for my tickets individually, but I'm still upset that I even wasted an hour and a half of my life watching a movie that I end up coming home and watching another hour and a half long movie that's the exact same fucking thing I just watched in the theater. It's so disheartening. Like I said, it's frustrating. As a, you know, especially as a guy like me who's been unemployed for a few months and money is tight, you motherfuckers made me go to the movies to watch the same movie I watched 14 years ago. I should fucking try to get my money back. I should demand they give me my money back. I'm unemployed. I shouldn't even be going to the movies. But I have to for my podcasting. I'm so tempted to hit up Bertino on fucking Twitter and tell him I want my fucking $20 back. But I won't, of course. But yeah,
I mean, Dark and the Wicked to this. Ugh.
That's so upsetting. That's what I mean. I mean, both the director and producer of this movie have done great films in the past. What the fuck happened here? It's like, I don't know if this is studio interference or I just don't know. I didn't get the same feeling, the same fun factor. Not that the original Strangers is quote unquote fun, but elements of it were to me. I especially love the accidental gunshot. I love that entire scene. I think it's funny as hell. But in this movie, it's so, like, mundane when it happens, namely because of who it is that gets shot. It's like, we don't give a fuck about you. At least in the first movie, we mildly cared.
Plus, the way that sequence went down, considering who it was that it happened to, I don't know. It seems like, I don't.
And you saw it coming a mile away. Like, instantly, as soon as he says, I hear somebody on the porch, everybody in the theater is like, oh, I know what's about to happen. I mean, it's so fucking predictable. Ah, so upsetting. I don't know if I even really need to do a walkthrough for this movie. the walkthrough is go watch Strangers 2007. There's your walkthrough. I'll go over a couple of minor little things that were done differently. Like I said, the opening scene and a couple of other things like that. But ultimately, there's no need for a walkthrough. But for whatever it's worth, there's not really much to spoil because, as we know, this is a prequel. So we know all three of the Strangers are going to survive because we've seen them in movies, in subsequent films that, you know, come after this in timeline, you know, in the movie timeline. So there's no sense of danger. There's no sense of, you know, suspense. It's just, God damn it. I don't understand how I loved the original and found this one to be just so dreadfully boring. It's probably just because it is a beat-for-beat remake. When you know what's coming, like, where's the fun in that, you know? It's so upsetting. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're because you're sitting there kind of waiting for it to establish itself and a reason for existing, and it just never comes.
It never does, and then the credits roll, and you're like, what the fuck? You actually made me watch the same goddamn movie with a different intro. Woo! Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Anyway, there's not much to spoil here. Really, the mid-credits scene is about the only thing that's really much of a spoiler. And So I'll go over just a couple of little things in the film, but this is going to be a quick walkthrough, my friends, I assure you. All right, so our movie opens with our couple. Well, actually, we get a cold open in this one, which we did not get a cold open in the original movie. The original movie opens with the 911, with the recording of the 911 call, and then just kind of goes right into the events of that night. With this movie, we actually get a cold open. Our movie opens, and we see just a guy in a suit and tie running through the woods. He's very obviously running away from something. He keeps looking behind him. Eventually, he ends up tripping, hurting his leg. He's unable to continue running. And then, of course, the strangers appear, all three of them with the traditional masks that we all know and love. And the male stranger, you know, picks up his axe and buries it in the guy. We don't even get to see it because the camera goes behind a tree at the actual moment of impact. So, I mean, this could have been a PG fucking movie for all I know. Okay, so that's your cold open. After that, we are introduced to Maya and Ryan. They are a fairly happy couple. Like I said, whereas the original movie starts with a couple that's already having problems and they're already kind of at each other's throats, this one, at least they're happy, they're smiling. It's just a better way to start the movie than, you know, having to start the movie with the only two protagonists in the movie and they're already at each other's throats. It's just, it's not endearing. I think Don mentioned that in a previous review, that it's just not endearing to see our characters arguing in the very first scene in the movie. So at least that's a little bit better.
Well, I didn't say it for that one. I didn't say it for that one. I said that's my reasoning for not liking Possession by Zelowski.
Oh, gotcha. No worries. So after we meet Maya and Ryan, we see that they are on their way to Portland. Maya has a job interview in Portland. Very similar to Children of the Corn, kinda. During their travels, they decide that they're hungry and they want to stop somewhere to get something to eat. They literally end up stopping at the very first eatery on the road, and it's Carol's Diner. It's a little diner in the town of Venus, Oregon. Yes, they are in Oregon. Like I said, traveling to Portland, Oregon. And they are in the town of Venus that has a population of about 460-something people, I think they said. So anyway, as soon as they park at the diner, already the town seems shady. As soon as they get out of the car, we see two guys dressed as mechanics across the street at a garage, just literally eyeballing the couple as they get out of the car and go into the diner. Once they get into the diner, everybody in the diner looks at them like they literally just farted or something. Like, I don't know. They're just, like, staring at them. Like, you know, it's just the standard out-of-towners in a small town, you know, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, they finish their meal. Oh, and by the way, Richard fucking Brake plays one of the cops in this movie, and he doesn't even have a fucking line. Did you guys notice that? That's Richard Brake in the diner. He was the sheriff. But he never says a word. He doesn't have a line. Why would you have a fucking horror icon in your movie to not say one word?
That's hilarious.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of paying attention. I don't really notice that kind of stuff to begin with. But yeah, that does seem kind of weird. And I mean, I may not have been that interested in paying attention to the credits, so it would have snuck by me, but.
I noticed him instantly. I mean, I'm a Richard Brake fan, so I see his face. Even if they put makeup on him, I recognize him. And I instantly recognize them. And as soon as I recognize them, I'm like, oh, shit. This is going to be like, you know, it's going to turn into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake where, like, the whole town is in on it. And they do
that's
kind of
probably what
that.
They're thinking about. He's probably going to be a character in 2 or 3, more than likely, if that's
valid.
The setup.
Absolutely valid. It seems like a waste of Richard Brake's time to make him come out to set for one day to do this scene just because he's going to be in
the unless he also had scenes deleted.
That's a possibility, too. The movie is only 90 minutes solid, so yeah, there's probably some deleted scenes that were left on the cutting room floor, so who knows? Once the Blu-ray comes out, maybe we'll see those deleted scenes. Not like I'm going to be in the market to buy this Blu-ray in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, that's what we got YouTube for.
It's funny, because I just saw him in Last Stop in Yuma County, where he had a decent-sized role. He was like one of the major actors in that, and then He's really good. So maybe because I just saw him play a bigger part in that, I didn't notice him in a minuscule non-speaking role.
I mean, literally, they show him like all of twice. I think he's literally sitting at the counter at the diner eating with another cop, a black cop. So there's two cops at the counter. One of them's black, one of them's white. The white one is Richard Brake. But, yeah, like I said, no lines whatsoever. So interesting decision. But obviously with two more movies coming in this trilogy, I guess he'll have a bigger role later on. So after this, after Maya and Ryan finish their food, they go back out to their car, and the car doesn't start. Mind you, this isn't an 87 Toyota Tercel. This is like a brand new electric car. Like this, it's got automatic startup. Like there's no reason that a car this nice and new wouldn't start. But instantly, they're trying to start it. And as soon as they're trying to start it, one of the mechanics from across the street walks over and taps on the glass and is like, having car trouble? And then they bring the car over to the garage. They realize that some part in the engine is worn out. That's what he says. He says, your something is worn out. I forget what the part was that he mentioned, but he said, oh, it's worn out. It needs to be replaced. Now, obviously, they're going to have to send somebody into the city to go get the part. So there's no way the car is going to get fixed that day. So, of course, our couple, Maya and Ryan, are forced to stay in town. But unfortunately, all the hotels and motels in the area are closed. I've never even fucking heard of a motel being closed, but again, town conspiracy, so there you go. But one of the waitresses at the diner, Shelley, actually tells them that there's a guy who has a house that he rents out on Airbnb and that it should be available right now because it's not hunting season. He only stays at the house during hunting season. So they make the reservations, they're able to get the house, and then Shelley even offers them a ride because Shelley's like, oh, I live right near there, I can drop you off at the Airbnb. Now, as soon as she drops them off, instantly red flags are going off because they never make arrangements to get picked up the next day. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but literally she drops them off and no one is like, oh, are you going to come pick us up tomorrow, or how can we get a ride back to, you know, the garage, or like nothing. They literally just leave it open-ended. So it's very obvious to the viewer that these two are not meant to leave this house ever. So finally, after Shelley drops them off at the Airbnb, it's a nice big house, very similar to what we see in the original, a little bit more like a log, not quite log cabin, but more log cabin like than the house in the original. And then from here, my friends, it is a carbon copy of 2007. I mean, I literally don't need to go through it. Literally every single scene that you remember from 2007, literally the piano playing, how in the original it was Liv Taylor, in this one it's Maya. They sit down at the piano, they play it for a few minutes, then they walk away, and then we get the gag of the piano being played mysteriously when there's not supposed to be anybody else in the house. Fucking shot for shot. It's ridiculous. The whole thing with Tamara. Is Tamara here? Yes, same thing. That's in the trailer. So if you saw the trailer, then you know that's in there. But yeah, same thing. Is Tamara here? No. Okay. And then she leaves. She was actually more polite in the original movie, because in the original movie, she at least says thank you when they say, no, you must have the wrong house. In this one, she literally just walks away. So, you know, obviously I'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, obviously they're kind of changing their style up a little bit as they get become more proficient killers and stalkers and everything else. So, but like I said, same thing. The shotgun scene in this one, instead of it being the brother of Scott Speedman's character, it's actually the owner of the Airbnb. When they first get to the Airbnb, they realize the refrigerator's broken. So they call the owner. They let him know that the refrigerator's broken. If there's any way he could either come out or send somebody out to fix the fridge so that they could have use of it at least for the one night that they're staying there, which is kind of interesting. But of course, at one point, after the shit hits the fan, after, you know, the strangers have been stalking these guys for like a good 30, 40 minutes, of course, there's a misunderstanding where Ryan has a shotgun, very similar to the first movie, yet again, another shotgun is present, and he hears somebody on the porch. Rather than taking the fucking second and a half it would take to look at his face and see if he's wearing a mask, Ryan literally turns the corner and shoots the fucking Airbnb owner right in the face, killing him instantly. But same, again, same gag with the truck. Do you remember, like, in the original, when the couple got in the car, the truck shows up and smashes them? Same thing in this movie. After Ryan accidentally kills the Airbnb owner, he takes his keys, gets in his truck. They think that they're about to escape, but then, of course, you know, the Scarecrow shows up driving the truck, smashes the truck up against a tree, pinning Ryan inside of the car. And then this next part really fucking pissed me off. Ryan basically tells Maya to run. Just run. Leave me. My leg is stuck. I'm not going to be able to get out of here. So Maya does exactly that. She ends up running, and then the Scarecrow comes out of the truck and jumps on top of the vehicle that they're trying to escape in. At this point, Ryan's the only one in the car because Maya has already run away. And then Ryan, like I said, he is armed with a shotgun and plenty of ammo. He lets one round out through the front windshield. It seems like it may have hit the Scarecrow, but we all know it's a horror movie. It probably didn't hit him. So then he gets out of the truck through the windshield with an injured leg because he sprained his ankle running out of the house, and then that same leg is the one that got trapped in the truck. He basically was able to use the shotgun as like a wedge to get the door off his leg so that he could get out. Anyway, the reason I hate this fucking scene is because Ryan literally walks by the Scarecrow's truck while it's running and doesn't have the fucking wherewithal to take the keys. I'm not saying take the truck and leave because Maya's still running away, so you're obviously not going to leave, you know, your potential fiancé out in the cold. So, fucking... But no, he literally walks by a truck that is running. It's got the keys in it, and it's fucking running. And he just walks by it and doesn't do anything, doesn't grab
it. Yeah, that kind of confused me, too. And it was, like, little parts like that in this movie that made me think, man, was this happening in the original? Because, like I said, it's been so long that I'm like, is this how it played out? Because, like, the truck is literally there running, and you just walk by it. What the hell?
Yeah, in the original, it's not exactly like that. Like, they get pinned up against the same thing. You know, the Scarecrow crap. Well, it's not actually the Scarecrow driving in the first movie. It's the baby doll. So baby doll is driving. She crashes the truck into the original couple because they're driving their brother's car at that point. Remember, their car got trashed, but then the brother showed up. So they try to take the brother's car out of there and get out of there. I don't know why I'm talking about the original so much, but since it's the same fucking movie, I guess it's the same thing. So anyway, point is, it all comes down to the same fucking finale where both of them end up getting knocked out, getting captured, getting tied up into chairs, and then, you know, we get that final scene there in the living room. And this is where I'm going to say that vehemently the original did it so much better. In this one, it's really weird. It's the same thing. Instead of saying, because you were home, I think the exact line in this one is, because you were here. But still basically the same thing. I mean, it doesn't change Don's argument at all. It is a lazy mentality. I mean, I would have rather they just said, because we like killing. You know, that would have made way more fucking sense than because you were home or because you were here, but whatever. The point is that in this one, instead of, if you remember in the original, all three of the strangers took turns stabbing both of them, both the man and the woman. In this movie, literally, the baby doll stabs the guy once in the belly, literally just once, pulls the knife out, lets him bleed out for a little bit, and then the Scarecrow kicks the chair over, which I guess, you know, makes them bleed out even more because of, you know, the shifting, your innards kind of shifting and you're bleeding out at the same time. He eventually dies very quietly and fairly boring. And then they do the exact same thing to Maya. They stab her once in the belly, pull the knife out, let her bleed out for a little bit, and then they kick her chair over. And I'm like, this is definitely a prequel because these guys are not the sadistic killers that they are in 2007. Definitely not. So what ends up happening is they end up leaving. They assume that they killed both of them, and they just leave the house. As it turns out, Maya does survive, and the final shot of the main part of the movie is just Maya still alive but out cold in a hospital bed in a hospital. So it's almost like they're basically saying, hey, look, she survived and she's safe. Then we get the mid-credit scene, and goddamn, I fucking hate this. What we end up getting is a side of the bed shot where the camera is on one side of the bed showing the side of Maya as she's laying in the bed. She wakes up, she realizes that she's in a hospital, she realizes that she's injured, but she wants to get up for some reason. So she literally sits up in the bed, and there's the fucking scarecrow laying in the bed with her. Makes no fucking physical sense. It is an impossibility that you wouldn't notice another person laying in your hospital bed. My friends, hospital beds don't come in, like, king size. They're all twins. There's no fucking way another human being is going to be laying in your bed with you and you're not going to notice. And then that's how the mid-credit scene ends. It just ends with the reveal that the scarecrow is there in the hotel room, and the movie fucking ends, and that's it. And at this point, I'm pissed off at the world, walking out of the theater just ready to start a fight because I fucking just wasted not just the 90 minutes to go watch the movie, the half hour of trailers before it, plus the 20 minutes drive each way to get to the fucking theater. I wasted a good 3.5 fucking hours to watch a movie that I watched 17 years ago in the theater. I cannot express how fucking pissed off I am right now. I don't even care that there's going to be two more movies and that they're setting up new events for the next movies. The fact of the matter is, in 2024, you made me sit through a movie that I already paid to watch 17 fucking years ago and praised. I actually, like I said, I raved about that movie when it came out. Now, I'm right there with everybody else. Now, I don't like The Strangers. I think it's a dull franchise. It's boring, and it's borderline stupid, honestly. I mean, on top of the fact that in all three Strangers movies, people end up with firearms, and no one can do anything against these people that are armed with knives and hatchets. It's like, you have a fucking shotgun. What is wrong with you? And I know, admittedly, in Prey at Night, they actually do end up taking out one or two of the Strangers, so blah, blah, blah. There was actual results there, at least. But yeah, in 2007 and in Chapter 1, these guys with shotguns are just ineffective completely, unless they're killing innocent people. Then they're effective. But if you're actually trying to kill someone who's literally trying to slice your wife open, you miss completely. So, yeah, I mean, this movie is frustrating in every goddamn sense of the word. I was bored, I was frustrated, I was pissed off, and I never want to fucking talk about this movie ever again. And like I said, I don't even want to watch the next two, but I'm gonna say it right now. I fucking vow, if the next movie is a shot-for-shot remake of Prey at Night, I'm fucking done with The Strangers. I will boycott the third movie and I will not see it ever. So Bertino and what the fuck's his name? Harlan. Renny Harlan and Brian Bertino. You guys better get your fucking act together, because if you do this shit to me again, I'm not only done with The Strangers, I'm done with your fucking movies. I will boycott both of you. Fuck you. I'm not going to give you money to make me watch something I've already seen. Go ahead, Mike.
Something I never thought I'd say, but it mostly has to do with Flanagan, is I'm actually looking forward to, or my curiosity has me more looking forward to the next Exorcist than the next Strangers.
Oh, I mean, if Flanagan is attached, by far more interested. I mean, I'd like, yeah. I'm hoping against hope that they still get canceled. Like, I don't want any more Exorcist movies. We already had a masterpiece Exorcist movie. You're never going to come anywhere near it. You're never going to top it. Just leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah, but I actually agree with you. Like, while Flanagan, of course, brings, like, the directing acumen, like, if they're just hiring him to direct, like, a shitty script, yeah, it's not like my hope is completely restored. It's like, sure, Flanagan will get the best out of a shitty script that he can, but that doesn't mean it's still going to be good. It'll just be like probably better than if it was a garbage director, you know?
I mean, the only thing in his defense is that he's already made a sequel to one of the greatest horror movies ever made, a sequel that came, what, 38 years after the original, 36 years after the original. So he has the pedigree to be able to do a sequel, that's a lot better than we expect it to. I fucking love Dr. Sleep. I think Dr. Sleep was an absolute triumph. So, and honestly, most things that Flanagan does is an absolute triumph. So,
You know what? You know why it's unfortunate is because I kind of wish they would have had Flanagan involved in Exorcist Believer now, because if you look at everything that made the original Exorcist great, it wasn't just the exorcism stuff. It was like the human being stuff and all like the characters, and that's something Flanagan's really good at, but it's like you already kind of like sabotaged the trilogy by making Believer like the way it was. So I don't know. We'll see. I didn't even really mean to get it on a side tangent here, but it's just one of those things where it's like now they're not just remaking movies anymore. They're like, let's remake them and like announce like a trilogy up front when like we don't even know how well the first one's going to be received. So it's like, why don't you guys start pumping the brakes on deciding you're going to already announce a trilogy and just put the first one out there, see how it goes, and then maybe you might want to put your resources somewhere else after, you know, after the results come in, because I don't know. We'll see.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. I mean, do I even need to illustrate anything else?
Do we?
I don't.
Oh, God, this fucking movie. Okay, now, the one theory that I had about what could happen later. If this were to happen, it'll bring me back on board for The Strangers. Now, I totally believe that the two girls that are with the Scarecrow weren't always killers. I feel like it's a Joker and Harley Quinn situation where the Joker got his hands on Harley Quinn and made her insane. I'm thinking that the Scarecrow probably kind of, you know, auditioned these two girls. Anyway, my point is that if the Scarecrow in the next movie doesn't kill Maya, but actually tries to psychologically fuck with her until the point that she actually becomes one of the Strangers, then I'm back on board, my friends. Totally back on board. Now, mind you, that's just my theory. Because how likely is it that three absolute psychos would meet and be like, oh, let's start a serial killer team? My theory is that the Scarecrow is the kind of the figurehead, and that he kind of mentally abuses people until they see things his way. So fingers crossed that that's what we're going to get. I have no faith whatsoever that's what we're going to get. But if Maya were literally to become one of the female Strangers, like if it actually turned out that she's one of the Strangers in the previous movies, I'm so on board. Now, obviously, in the original Strangers, we actually do get to see, like, side shots of them without their masks, and neither one of them is Maya. So that kind of kills that theory, obviously. But that's about the only thing that's really going to save this franchise for me. I mean, unless they do something somehow better, which, like I said, at this point, I don't have faith in either Bertino or Harlan. They each made one movie that I really, really liked, and everything else is just, various degrees of okay. So I guess I'll leave it at that and say, let's hope the next one's better.
Yeah, it shouldn't be hard to be, but that doesn't mean it will be. That's the thing.
Well, what's funny is that before the movie, I posted on Facebook that I was watching it, and in my post, I wrote down, this movie has to be better than Pray at Night, right? Nope. I was wrong. It can't. It can still somehow get worse. I can't believe it. But yeah, there it is.
All right. That's it for Strangers Chapter 1. Let's see if we have anything else out between the three of us. Venom, do you have anything to report?
Honestly, things have been really crazy in my life, so I literally have nothing else to report. We will be recording the next episode of Creature Comforts this coming weekend. We have decided on the movie, and we have also decided to do a little mini tribute to Mr. Roger Corman, the king of the B-movies. And we have decided to do a feature review for his film, The Wasp Woman, because even though Roger Corman did a lot of great B-movies, he didn't do as many creature features as you might think. So, you know, we had a few to choose from, and we went with The Wasp Woman, which was also famously an episode of Mystery Science Theater. So there's, you know, that factor of entertainment as well. So, like I said, look out for that episode in the next couple of weeks. I will definitely let everyone know when it's available. And like I said, because of everything going on in my life, unfortunately, that's all I have to report right now.
All right. How about you, Don?
As mentioned, we're doing a little memorial for Corman. I mean, we didn't really have much choice. It was either Wasp Woman, Attack of the Crab Monsters, or Creature from the Haunted Sea. And I think we both, subconsciously, I think we all agreed that we probably would want to memorialize him with a good movie. So, at least that was kind of my reasoning. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to try to say that, you know, we're going to memorialize him with a good movie. So, we're going to, you know, have that one available. Pending schedules. But, you know, like you said, we'll let you guys know. I do have a guest spot available, as I think I mentioned it once or twice when it was coming soon, but it's finally out. My appearance on No Bodies podcast, two words, No Bodies. We basically did the first half of a retrospective on religious horror films. So it was one conversation, but I think they've edited it down into two different parts. But we basically just looked at religious horror films, our history with it, and we started talking, you know, just like round robin style. Okay, here's a general theme and several films that kind of fit that topic. So I haven't had a chance to listen to what parts of the conversation are there, but I think it's cut into two, so I think part two is going to be released a little bit later, but you can find that wherever you find your shows. Like I said, it's two words, No Bodies podcast. You'll be able to find it. And finally, again, this is like I said, the Horror Countdown is on a alternating schedule, so 1 week on, 1 week off, and this is the week that we were on. So a new episode of that one is available. I take a look at the most hated characters in the genre. So one of the first negative topics we've covered, but it was a fun time. A lot of intriguing choices. Pretty much available everywhere all over my regular show is. So go ahead and give that one a listen. But other than that, back to you, Mike.
All right. Nothing much from me. Just fresh cuts, guest spots, nothing new enough to report. The main show, I think we are tentatively have a rescheduled date for that coming up soon. And what else? I think that's it. Potential guest spots in the future, but I'll leave that for when I'm closer to that happening. And then what else I got? Nothing. So I know this coming up week, we're not doing Furiosa on the show, even though I will be seeing it. But so I think, is it a no horror theatrical release week, I think?
I believe so, yeah. We got 2 weeks until In a Violent Nature.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you know what's weird? Now, I'm not more showtimes might get added, so I can't say 100%, but my local Regal, it's getting the advanced kind of sneak peek a week from this Wednesday, but then when it opens on a Friday, it doesn't have showtime, so I'm like, why would you be showing like the one night sneak peek but not just when it opens? But it could just be because I looked at the coming soon and there's like so many movies listed on there. They could just have to update it like when it gets closer to a week from Friday. So I'll see. But I already I have the Regal app the Unlimited, so I already bought a ticket for that advanced screening, even if I can't go. And if I can't go, I'll go into the app to free up the seat for someone else, but I bought it just in case because I'm looking forward to it. I'm very curious about how it's going to be. So, yeah. But an episode before that, we'll have to figure out something on VOD. There's plenty to choose from now. But we'll use this week to figure it out. No time or no reason to rush into it. But with that said, thank you everyone for listening. Sorry that we basically talked about a movie everyone's already seen before this, but
sometimes it's a filmmaker's fault. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, don't apologize for them.
All right, cool.
They should be apologizing to us.
Cool. We will be back in a week with another episode of Fresh Cuts. Until then, let's say bye to our listeners.
Later.
Hey, at least bad movies make for short episodes.
Yeah. Peace.